Good morning. We're doing the laws of Shabbat. We're about to begin a halacha that is not well known. I made the big mistake of mentioning it in one of the WhatsApp messages in the Q&As. I said a quick halacha. Within 5 minutes, I had maybe 30 responses of people asking, wait, what about A? What about B? What about C? And they were right. And so I decided, okay, we will start from scratch and learn this halacha Be'ezrat Hashem, step by step, and we'll try to get a handle on what's going on. So, just a second, we'll begin. So we begin. There are areas in the laws of Shabbos where traditionally the Jewish people had a hard time. Our baseline, when we look at the laws of Shabbos, we assume the Jew is not going to transgress Shabbos. It's the basic assumption. Unfortunately, there are exceptions. In the laws of heating up water, the Talmud tells us Jews really enjoy taking a hot bath on Shabbos. So they would slip a dollar to the guy, the Jew, who was responsible for heating up the bathhouses, and tell him, make sure we have a hot bath on Shabbos. That's pretty bad. So the rabbis made institutions about not taking a hot bath on Shabbos because we realized it's coming to a point where Jews are actually transgressing Shabbos in order to have their hot bath. And so the rabbis, they nip the problem at the bud, right? If you tell the guy, don't put the log on the flame, maybe the next guy will. So the rabbis just said, no going to bathhouses on Shabbos. You may not take a hot bath on Shabbos until today. That's not halacha. You can't take a hot bath on Shabbos. Again, this was a way of ensuring that people weren't making the workers work on Shabbos. So we have a few exceptions like that, where the Jewish people needed the rabbinic institutions to keep them in line. Where although generally a Jew is assumed to keep Shabbos, but there were areas of weakness. One of the areas of weakness is described in the book of Ezra, that the Jewish people had their shops open on Shabbos. They were pressing wine. The market was thriving, bustling on Shabbos. They had merchants who would come in on Shabbos. It was like market day. And it says that Ezra locked the gates of the city. And it says they made a mass protest. The merchants lined up outside the city. And Ezra had the backing of the king with Nehemiah. And they forbade the people and they told them, don't show up again. We're not letting you in on Shabbos and we don't want you at the gates. So the Jewish people had this challenge of not doing business on Shabbos. And the rabbinic institutions weren't kind. So the rabbis said, how do we ensure people don't work on Shabbos and don't do business on Shabbos? So the rabbis said, new rabbinic prohibition. It's called muktzah. Okay, from now on, you're not allowed to handle any instrument on Shabbos. How are we going to eat, rabbis? With your hands. Don't touch an instrument. No forks, no spoons, no knives, nothing. Eat with your hands. So the rabbis went to the extreme, and they had the power to do it back in those days. And after people got used to this idea, they can't even touch their spoon on Shabbos. So then they realized they're not allowed to touch their plow on Shabbos. They're not allowed to touch their money on Shabbos. They're not allowed to have their shop open on Shabbos. By pushing back to the opposite extreme, then the rabbis were able to lessen their hold. And the rabbis said, okay, now you guys can use your spoons and forks on Shabbos. Now you can use your knives. Now you can, just don't touch your plow on Shabbos. So the rabbis, in facing the challenge of business on Shabbos, expanded the prohibition. And so they said, don't measure things on Shabbos. So we know that we don't measure unnecessarily on Shabbos. You want to know if that new bookcase you're considering buying will fit against that wall. So you want to take out a tape measure and measure that wall. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. We don't measure things on Shabbos. We don't weigh things on Shabbos. But I'm dieting. Okay, so you'll weigh yourself before Shabbat and after Shabbat. There's no reason to weigh on Shabbos. So the rabbis extended the prohibition of doing business to any form of measurement. Now, The rabbis also said, we don't want you reading your ledgers on Shabbos. Don't go taking out your files and saying, who didn't pay me this Shabbos? Just a second, sorry. So the rabbi said, there's another rabbinic prohibition called Shitrei Hedyotot, the legal documents. We're not supposed to be reading legal documents on Shabbos. Don't go over your purchase orders on Shabbos. You're not supposed to be sitting there saying where your business is holding on Shabbos. Part of the rabbinic institution of ensuring we don't do work on Shabbat was also this institution called Shitrei Hedyotot, that we're not supposed to go over our legal documents on Shabbos. Now, this extends itself. This means I'm not supposed to read receipts on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to look at accounts payable and accounts receivable. I'm not looking at my books on Shabbos. Then the rabbis extended it. And the rabbi said, what if you have an official document that the governor sent you a letter asking how you're doing? Don't read it on Shabbos. So, then the rabbis extended it. And the rabbi said, we don't want you to work with any list on Shabbos. It's not just your list of goods, where you might go around checking how many potatoes did I sell? How many sacks of potatoes do I have left in my inventory? How many crates of eggs do I have left in my inventory? So the rabbi said, no reading lists on Shabbos. Now, with regards to the concept of no reading lists on Shabbos, so the Talmud offers two reasons. One reason is it's part of the prohibition of doing business on Shabbos. The other reason is, as you read a list, you might erase things from the list. Now, this came up this past Shabbos, because this past week we had Shabbat leading into the holiday of Shavuot. So the average woman prepared a certain amount of food and she had a certain game plan. I'm serving this chicken Friday night. I'm serving this chicken Friday, Shabbos day. I'm serving this chicken Matzei Shabbos, and I'm serving that chicken on Shavuos day. Now, God forbid, if you confuse it and with the salty chicken you take out the sweet kugel, things are going to be terrible in the house. So a woman is very, very interested in having her lists, what goes out at which meal. And if after Yom Tov she suddenly discovers that she forgot that potato kugel that she slaved over, then she's really upset. So women want to work with lists for Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch tells us an halacha which is actually a Mishnah. Zimen ochim, if a person invited guests, ve'echin lehem minei megadim, and he prepared for his guests all kinds of delicious foods. Ve'chatav bichtav kama zimen, and he made himself a list. How many guests did I invite for this meal? Ve'kama megadim echin lahem, and how many desserts do I have prepared for these guests? So he has a list. 18 guests. He has a list. 5 courses for this guest, 3 courses for that guest. He has a list of what he's serving to which table. Asur likroto b'Shabbat. This goes into the prohibition of reading a list on Shabbat. 2 reasons the Talmud tells us. One is, this goes under the heading that the rabbis didn't want you dealing with lists on Shabbos. As part of the broader prohibition to end up dealing with your business, the rabbi said, don't deal with lists on Shabbos. The other understanding is, Chazal were concerned. You'll look at your list, and you'll say, I invited Shmerel and Beryl. Shmerel and Beryl are right now having a fight. I should tell Shmerel, I should leave Shmerel out of the invitation. When I go to shul, I should not invite Shmerel, only Beryl. So you're going to cross off Shmerel from your list.
Abbott and Costello.
Right, Abbott and Costello, yes. So you might look at how much food is left. Your teenager came home from yeshiva and he just siphoned off half the meal, telling you he just needed a snack. And suddenly you say, I shouldn't invite so many people for the Shabbos day meal. So you want to nix people off your list. You didn't invite them yet. In ancient times, you would invite people on the day of the meal. So we're concerned that a person will come to erase on Shabbos. And so the halacha says, don't read the list on Shabbos. You might tell yourself, my in-laws are coming Matzei Shabbos. I'm going to save that cake for when they come over. You'll erase that from your list of desserts. You'll erase that from the list of things you're serving. And so Chazal said, do not read lists on Shabbos. Afilu imukatuv al gabei kotel gavo arbe. So the Talmud says, can I etch in the if I want the to write the list on the wall, right? So I'm going to write my list on the wall. I guess in those days you could erase what you wrote on the wall. Talmud says it's prohibited. So if a person, here we also see the extension that the Gemara tells us when they prohibited reading by candlelight, by an oil lamp. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said, why did they prohibit it? They said you might tilt your oil lamp. When they would learn by an oil lamp, so often if the flame wasn't holding well to the wick, they'd tilt the oil a drop, the flame would catch better, and then they'd put it down. That motion of tilting the oil lamp is a biblical prohibition on Shabbos. You're making the flame light better. So the rabbi said, no reading by an oil lamp on Shabbos. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said, I'm going to learn next to an oil lamp. I have nothing to worry about. I wouldn't tilt an oil lamp. That won't happen to me. The Talmud says that's what he did. He sat next to an oil lamp and read. And then he found his hand on the oil lamp about to tilt the oil lamp. And he said, boy, the rabbis were right. I thought I wouldn't come to that. Then the Talmud says there's another version to the story. Ika d'amri. Others say the story played itself out differently. As Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was learning, he put his hand on the oil lamp. He tilted the oil lamp on Shabbat. He transgressed Shabbat, put down the oil lamp and said, wow, the rabbis were right. And after Shabbos, he took out his notebook and he wrote in it, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha. I, Yishmael the son of Elijah, kareti, I read, vehiteti b'Shabbat, and I tilted an oil lamp on Shabbat. When the temple will be rebuilt, I will bring a fat sin offering. So the Gemara says over there, don't tell yourself the rabbis forbade an oil lamp that's sitting next to my book. If I have an oil lamp on the wall, that's okay, I won't come to tilt it. Don't tell yourself the rabbis forbade an oil lamp next to my book or on the wall. But if I have oil lamps that are two flights up, I won't climb the wall two flights and tilt the oil lamp. The rabbis gave a blanket statement. Don't read by an oil lamp on Shabbos. Don't play games. That's the blanket statement. That's the prohibition. So the Talmud says the same concept that regards an oil lamp is true with regards to reading lists. Don't tell yourself, I'll write my list on the wall up there. I won't come to erase it. It'll be on the wall up there. No, says the Talmud. Just like the rabbis didn't allow you to make those distinctions with regards to oil lamps, the rabbis didn't want you to make those distinctions with regards to your lists. Don't read from a list on Shabbos. However, if you have the list that's etched into the wall, so it's not easy to erase something that's been engraved in the wall, and you might tell yourself, well, if I read that, won't I come to read my ledgers? The answer is no, because you don't have ledgers etched into the wall. That's very different than your legal documents. Then the rabbis permitted it, because it is very, very difficult to erase something that's been etched into the wall, and because it is very different than the ledgers. What if you'll say, okay, so I'll take a notebook and I'll etch it into my notebook. There the rabbis forbade it. That's not different enough. It's on the wall, etched into the wall, that's okay.
Is that a common practice?
I don't know.
Because I'm just connecting it to the book of Daniel.
Right, I don't know. So that's our baseline of not reading lists on Shabbos. Now you can understand that this opens a Pandora's box. Because once I put out this WhatsApp message, so I started getting back the following questions. Rabbi, can I give the Gabbai my list of who to make a Mishaberach for on Shabbos? Rabbi, I am the Gabbai. Can I read the list of who has Yahrzeit this week? Rabbi, how am I allowed to read the schedule? When the shul puts out a schedule and I read Friday night services at this time, Shabbat morning at this time, isn't that a list? Rabbi, I have a calendar that's on the wall of my house. How can I read my calendar and check what time Shabbat enters or leaves? I always write and erase things from my calendar. So boy, the number of questions that came in. So we'll try to address some things.
Are you saying that every school pull a list to read for on Shabbat is a violation?
I didn't say that. I said the questions that came in. I didn't say the answers.
Okay.
So we had this class, which was another mistake, on Shabbat morning, leading into Shavuot. And one person who's actually a very good Jew said to me, Rabbi, you'll notice I didn't ask you any questions. So I hadn't calculated that there were many women who had lists who didn't listen to this WhatsApp message going from Shabbat to Yom Tov. So what do you do? So you remember we said that the laws of reading a list correspond to the laws of not reading from an oil lamp, that the Talmud equates them. So one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch is called the Primigadim. You open the back of the Shulchan Aruch, on the page of the Shulchan Aruch you have in Arachayim, in the Daily Laws, you have the Magen Avram and the Taz. Those are the two major commentaries. On those two major commentaries, there was another commentary written on them. They're commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, and then there's a commentary on them. And that commentary is called Primigadim. So the Primigadim quotes a Rashba. The Rashba was the rabbi in Spain. He was the disciple of Nachmanides, the Ramban. And the Rashba says like this. When it comes to reading by an oil lamp, so the Talmud says that if two people read by the oil lamp, they protect one another. Each one watches over the other. So two people can read by an oil lamp, because if one of them will come to tilt it, the other one will say, don't do that. Right? So the Rashba says, if that permits reading by an oil lamp, so then that should also permit reading a list. What's your concern? You'll come to a race. You'll come to do business. You have someone else who's watching over you. However, the Prima Gadim quotes this idea, and he ends with a question. He says, I'm not so sure. He says, the Rashba permitted that, but I'm not convinced. So step one is this idea that the Rashba suggests. Read, two people should read the list. What's another good solution? So this is how I began this class in shul. I said, I'm going to ask you a very personal question, and don't answer me, answer yourself. Imagine that your wife asked you to prepare the menu for Shabbat and Yom Tov. And your wife told you she put on the menu a salad that you can't stand. That salad is going to have onions in it. You can't stand the smell of onions. That salad's going to have paprika in it, and you can't stand the sight of paprika. Whatever. There's a salad you don't like. So you have this list of 30 dishes she plans on serving over Shabbat and Yom Tov. Now I'm going to ask you a personal question. When your wife's not looking, would you dare erase the salad you don't like from the list? I'm not asking if you think it's ethical. I'm not asking if you think it's the right way to behave. I'm asking if you would dare. I'm asking a very different question. Do you feel that in the way you run the house, the way your relationship is with your wife, you wouldn't dare do that? Or you would dare. You just won't do that because you don't think it's nice, or you don't think it's a good idea for the peace of the house, or whatever. Why is this an important question? Because the halacha says that a servant in the house, a servant who would not dare change the host's list, he's serving there. He's a waiter there. He can't change the menu. So he's allowed to read the menu. The waiter, the person who has a job, and his job is just to read the list. He can't take guests off the list. He can't add things to the menu, remove things from the menu. He's allowed to read the menu. That's okay. So I said, if you guys want to say it's my wife's list, I'm allowed to read it. That only works if you consider yourself a servant in the house. If you feel like in the house, I can't touch a list my wife wrote, then we have what to talk about. The idea that the halacha permits someone else to read the list is because the halacha is saying that person wouldn't dare touch the list. Are you that type of person in your house? In your house, would you say, I don't dare touch the list my wife wrote? I don't think so. I think most people say, out of respect for her, I won't do it. It's not because I don't dare do it. So that's the second leniency we have. No, so I'm saying in most houses the husband feels like he could touch them.
But what about, are we applying that to the question of public lists?
We're not yet getting there.
Okay.
Step by step. You could say that a shul, a shul schedule, you're not changing, you're not shifting, so that's okay. You could say that, yeah. One of the advice that's given is if you have someone in the house who wouldn't dare touch your list, your 7-year-old son, you have someone in the house who could read the list, but they wouldn't touch the list, then you could ask them to read the list. That is something you could do. There's another concept here.
So hold on, that's,
To ask someone who wouldn't be allowed to change the list, that's okay.
So like, you could give it to the guest?
Correct. You could give it to the guest to read, yes. There's another leniency by a Seudas Mitzvah. And here the question is, for whatever reason, the halacha doesn't give us that leniency for every meal of Shabbos and Yom Tov. We would say, isn't that also Seudas Mitzvah? There's a commentary on the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch called Knesset HaGdola, and he writes that the Gabbai can't read a list of Yahrzeits, meaning that some shuls would recount the people who had passed that year, mention them in prayer. So the Knesset HaGdola says you can't do that. What's our issue here? Every month or two, there's another list that comes off the list. Their year is up. So that's a list that you do erase from. So that's why the Knesset HaGdola says you can't read that list on Shabbos. Others are more lenient there. The question here would also be, you're in front of the congregation. Why don't we say, just like if you have someone else with you, that you wouldn't come to erase, like the Rashba said, so over here you're standing in the middle of the shul, you're not going to pull out a pen on Shabbos, right? So that should be an angle of leniency, but that wasn't given weight by the Knesset HaGdola. A Gabbai wants to look over who got an aliyah in the last few weeks. So being that he's looking at the history of what happened, it's not a list of what's yet to come, that's permissible. The Share Ephraim adds the caveat that I just said. He says, you're standing in the middle of the crowd, you're not going to erase anything. You're dealing with a mitzvah. You're dealing with the running of the shul. This isn't like your legal documents. It's similar to the Prima Gadim, right?
determining factor is whether there's some circumstance which would cause you to modify or not, or prevent you from modifying.
I didn't hear you.
If there's a circumstance which would prevent you from modifying, that's...
So that's difficult. They quote in the name of Rav Scheinberg that he said, laminate your list, put it in a closed plastic bag, and then it's difficult to access, and that would be okay. My difficulty with that is that the Gemara said if it's two flights up, it's still prohibited. So the Gemara gave you a very specific scenario where it's permissible. The Gemara says, what happens if you chisel out your list? The Gemara says, that's too easy to erase. How do you erase? It says, only if you etched in the list. Then it's hard enough that it's permissible. So that's why it's difficult for me to say that any little thing that makes it hard to erase would make it permissible.
What's the difference between to chisel and to...
To erase a chisel, you have to really work hard to flatten out the wall. But if you have letters that are protruding... The letters are protruding, then you could just knock them off. So knocking them off is considered easy enough that the rabbi said, no doing that on Shabbos. So then I don't understand why we would say what they quote in the name of Rav Scheinberg, that if you put it in a closed plastic bag where you can't easily access it and erase from it, that should be enough. I don't know why you would say that.
Well, laminating would make it impossible to erase.
I don't know about that today. People work with permanent markers on laminated cards. I don't know.
So meaning the question of what constitutes difficult to modify is unclear?
We have examples in the Talmud and in the Shulchan Aruch, but they're very harsh examples. So that's why I don't see how we can just copy-paste the solutions. There's one solution which I want to check with my teachers, which is I thought to make cards. Meaning, if instead of lists, I can make a bag with 10 pieces of paper. On each paper it says, let's say I have a bag of the dishes I want to serve Friday night. So in that bag, I write... chicken, roasted chicken on one piece of paper, and I write potato kugel on another piece of paper, and I write vegetable salad on a third piece of paper, and I write gefilte fish on a fourth piece of paper. So I'm saying, if I have them on separate pieces of paper, can I say that that's not a list? That's an idea I thought of, that I'll make cards, I'll make separate cards, and I'll put five cards for Friday night, five cards for Shabbat day. Are separate cards, would that go under this heading? I don't have them on one paper.
So, meaning if you're not
so I'm not sure yet. I want to hear from my teachers that they agree with this leniency.
But the idea would be that you discard the, if you didn't want something, you discard it.
What difference does it make? I'm not erasing. It's not a list. Chazal forbade lists. But that's not what Chazal forbade.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a sense of orders. Order something from the list, even separately. You should be pointing out, okay, what are now, next, you have a purpose of ordering. Because you're making ordering, that makes a list.
I hear. I don't know. I'm looking for a solution that will work for people. People, women want to have their lists for Shabbat and Yom Tov, so I'm looking. I don't think that's a list. I don't think so. But that I would like to have the backing of my teachers on this. That's my thought, but. I didn't see anyone else that wrote that, so I want to make sure I'm not missing something. So today we learned a little bit about lists.